Let's pray. Father, I come for you now and I'm so grateful for your word. God, I thank you for BJ and his time that he's been letting this word marinate in his mind and heart and meditate on it this week. And I pray you bless that time of preparation that now you deliver through him your message. God, give him the boldness by the Spirit to speak to us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to exhort us, to even convict us by your Spirit. God, but would your loving kindness bring us to repentance? God, that through that relationship we have with you through Jesus Christ, there is great joy. So God, would you speak to us now? Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and feet to apply your word to our hearts, to our lives, that we can experience more of who you are. God, communicate through this brother in a mighty way this morning to all of us. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, Grace Fellowship. Hope y'all have had a good Thanksgiving holiday and are thankful to be gathered again on the Lord's Day. God's good to us. Amen. Amen. Now let's recall that for the last several weeks in Galatians, we've been covering a topic that should hit pretty close to home for us. The fact that as Christians, there's this constant battle that's raging on inside of us between what the Apostle Paul has described as the flesh, which are our remaining sinful desires that exist in us that are opposed to God, and then the Holy Spirit, who is God himself, like literally living inside of our bodies, right here, right now. And those two are at constant conflict with each other all the time. And Paul started this section off by telling us what we just read, to walk by the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the desires of our flesh. And what's assumed beneath that command, if you really look at it, is that we can have victory in this battle. Like, as God's adopted children, he's not only given us new hearts with new desires, but we now have the ability to say no to our remaining sinful desires and yes to the leading of God's Spirit. Guys, we've been talking about this in Galatians, but we've been freed, brothers and sisters. Sin is no longer our master. If you're in here right now and you're like, man, I just can't get over this one sin. I can't. No, that ain't true. That's what Galatians has told us. No, you can stop. Not only are you forgiven, but you've been reborn, made a new creation, and you've been empowered to follow Jesus now. And as we've seen in Galatians, we don't do this by checklists or religious rituals or by being circumcised and not eating or eating certain types of food. Now we walk in the Spirit's power by faith. By faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Trusting in his finished work, not relying upon ours. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 15, we just read. I am the vine, Jesus saying this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, stay connected to me, because if you're in me, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. He didn't say you'll bear a little bit of fruit. And here's the thing, Christian. You have been united to Jesus through faith. So that means his Spirit is right now working in you so that you experience the blessings of that union. But this is where the battle takes place every day. Will we abide in Christ? Will I trust God's promises? Will I then walk by the Spirit? If you do, then you will experience the blessing and the fruit of that. But there's another option. Will I turn from Christ? Will I trust in myself? And will I walk in the flesh? Will I follow these remaining sinful desires that exist in me? And if you do, then you'll experience the consequences and curses of that. But those are the two choices that are set before us every single day. And listen, the scriptures are abundantly clear. Choose Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Walk by his Spirit. Like, that's the secret to the abundant life that you're after, that Jesus came to give. I came to give them life, and life abundantly, is what he said. And if you do this, if you choose to walk by the Spirit, he says he will do something miraculous with your life. Which brings us to today's topic, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. We've been doing a little mini series within Galatians where we're going through each of these virtues. There's seven of them, okay? And this is something that the Holy Spirit is progressively producing in you right now, this moment, if you're in Christ, as he conforms you and makes you more like Jesus. And there are these things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So where your sinful flesh wants to produce pride and fear and lust and self-righteousness or envy, maybe gossip, anxiety. Anybody know about anxiety? All of these sinful desires that cripple you, God is simultaneously working in you to produce these fruit in your life. Last week, Pastor Tim covered love, and today we're going to be looking at two of my favorite, peace and joy. Anybody in here need some more peace and joy? Anybody want it? I know I do. But today we're going to talk about how that doesn't just have to be a goal of yours, but how it can actually become your reality. So let's dive in. First, we're going to pray, and then we're going to dive in, okay? Let's pray. God, we need peace. God, we need joy. I know my brothers and sisters in this room, I know we got a lot going on. God, we need peace. God, we need joy. Would you teach us what that looks like, what that means, and how to get it? We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so first we're going to look at peace. So what is peace, biblically speaking? We all want peace. We all need peace. So it would kind of help if we knew what peace was. Amen? All right, so here's a helpful definition I found. The internet is a mess, but man, sometimes it can spit out some good stuff to you. All right? This is a good definition I found. Peace is the wholeness and holy calm of the soul, body, and relationships rooted in God's presence and grace. For the Christian, it is both the inward restfulness that flows from reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ and the outward harmony expressed in love and unity with others. Empowered and sustained by the Holy Spirit and grounded in the assurance of God's promises. So did you hear those words? Wholeness, rest, harmony, assurance, calm of the soul. In our world of constant distraction and anxiety, don't we yearn for these things, brothers and sisters? Don't we want to feel this way on the inside? Anybody? Well, according to Paul, we can. This fruit is available to us. God ain't holding nothing back from us. He's actually working it in you this very moment. But what does that look like? As those who are in Christ, why should we experience peace? Because number one, in Christ, we now have peace with God, not enmity. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the entire theme of Galatians has been over this very thing. How do we, as broken sinners, experience peace with the holy God? Like, that's the issue that's at hand in Galatians. Because false teachers have come in and told these Galatians, hey, you can have some peace. You just got to be circumcised. That'll do the trick. Which all that is, as we've seen, is just a repackaged, works-based false gospel that can bring peace to nobody. That's why Paul's been fighting. That's why he's been arguing. He wants these Galatians to experience peace with God. And it ain't through their works. It can't be through their works. Peace with God comes only through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Trusting in his work, relying upon his life, death, and resurrection. Receiving his righteousness on your behalf. Like, that's how they get peace back then in Galatia. And it's the same way we get peace now. Jesus is the only way to peace with God then and now. So that means if you're in here, you've placed your faith in Jesus and he is your Savior, then listen, peace is all yours. It's yours. You can have it. Like, you used to be God's enemy, but in Christ, you're his kid now. Like, there used to be enmity in this relationship, broken fellowship. You were his enemy, is what God said. But in Christ, God now loves you more than you could even fathom. More than you love your own kids. And listen, when you believe these blood-bought truths, the Holy Spirit produces peace in you. When you believe it. Like a soul-level peace that's constantly, like that the world is constantly searching for this, but it can't ever find it. It can't get it. The world's constantly offering ways that you can feel accepted and secure and worthy and free of all your guilt. But listen to me, none of those things exist outside of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. No matter what your flesh tells you, no matter what band-aid you try to put on your soul, everyone is searching high and low, trying to find this medicine that will fix the problem in here. And by God's grace, you and I have found it. We've been injected with the cure to sin that drove this wedge between us and God. And listen, it's Jesus Christ. It's not circumcision. It's not baptism. It's not, you know, whatever else ism you want to make it. It's Jesus Christ. He's the answer. He's the solution. He's the source of our peace. As Saint Augustine, however you want to say it, he's a saint, whatever that means too. We're all saints. But he said this quote, and I love it. I almost want to get it pinned on my, I got to print it off somewhere. But listen to what he says. He's talking to God. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless till they rest in you. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless. We're going to search for all this other stuff until we finally rest in you. But not only do we get to experience peace with God, number two, in Christ we now have peace of God, the peace of God. We're no longer ruled by our flesh, our emotions, nor our circumstances. You don't have to be. Has anybody been ruled by their flesh or their emotions or their circumstances this week? Okay, well, this is for you. John chapter 16, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says this, I have said these things to you. If you want to know what things, go back and read John chapter 16. That in me, you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. It's going to be hard. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Life can be hard, amen? Oh, man. Life can be hard, amen? The only people who didn't say amen are probably kids, okay? Because life ain't hard yet, but you'll see. But everyday people deal with heartache. Us, we deal with heartache. The cancer diagnosis, worry over our children's souls, the stress of our jobs. Add on top of that, we're weighed down by financial burdens. How am I going to pay for this? And then there's all this widespread political division. Listen, depression is skyrocketing in our country. You want an epidemic? We got a loneliness epidemic. Anxiety medications are popped like vitamins. Like, this is the world we live in. And yet in the midst of it all, the sovereign God, we serve a sovereign God who promises us this, it's all going to be okay. Trust me. Lean into me. Rely on me. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to get you through this. That's what he says to us. That's the promises he made. And that's because God, as his kids, God does not want us living in this constant state of stress and worry and expecting the worst. Listen, those things come from your flesh. It wants you stressed. It wants you anxious. It wants you weighed down. It wants you carrying the weight in your own strength that is not yours to bear. Did you guys know that the word for glory in Hebrew actually translates to weight or heaviness? And when my life gets stressful, it can feel like there's literally a weight on my shoulders. Anybody ever felt that? Like it gets in your neck, like I can feel tension in my neck. And I've started using that as a sign from the Lord that I'm trying to carry weight, carry glory that only God can bear. He doesn't want me crushed. He doesn't want me walking around overwhelmed. He wants me walking in peace even during hard circumstances. When all hell is breaking loose, he wants my soul at rest. Why? Because I know my Father controls the world. This is my Father's world, and I'm his kid. And guys, this is available to us every day. But listen, we may have to peel our fingers off of our perceived control a little bit. As some might say, let go and let God. Anybody, my control freaks in here, need to practice that a little more? I know we think we could get it all done. I know the whole world's relying on us. I know we got, if I don't do it, what's going to happen? Get over yourself, bro. I'm with you. I'm talking to myself. Get over yourself. Listen, when Jesus was with Mary and Martha, he knew that they all needed to eat. But who found the better treasure? Mary, the one sitting at his feet, listening to his word, abiding in him. Jesus said, Martha, you're busy with many things. Listen, guys, December's coming, Christmas is coming. All my ladies in the house, you're going to be busy with many things. Don't forget to abide at the feet of your Lord, especially during the season, okay? When you do abide in him, this leads to you experiencing the fruit of peace. Soul-level contentment that's able to say, not my will, but yours be done. This is what God desires for you to walk in, okay? At all times. You will have trouble in this world, but if you have peace with God, you can also have the peace of God. Number three, in Christ, we have peace with each other. In Christ, we have peace with each other. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 18. Listen to how awesome this is. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, any of y'all remember being far off from the Lord? You who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one. That means Jews and Gentiles. He's brought this to these two people who were so far off, so separated, so against each other. He's made them one. And he's broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man, there's a new creation, in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both, Jew and Gentile, to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came, that's Jesus, and preached peace to you who were once far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. This room right now, as we all sit, is full of people with different stories, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different, you know, who knows where your grandmama came from and great grandma, different personalities, amen? Amen? Some of y'all are like quiet and subdued. I'm up here just, blah, blah, yeah. But listen, through the blood of Jesus Christ and the work of his Holy Spirit, he's made us at peace with one another. Like, understand, guys, history is made up of thousands of years of war among people over property and land, power and prestige, because they look different. The list goes on. But God has united his people, the church, around a sacrificed Savior who causes us to overlook our differences as we focus upon his greatness. And because of Jesus, we can now have peace with each other. We can be quick to forgive because of all that God has forgiven us for. So listen, that little tip right there, if you're raging against somebody and you're burning with anger in your heart right now, remember how much you have infinitely sinned against your God and how he was able to forgive you. And then go forgive your brother or sister. We can reconcile with those who sin against us, like I just said, because of how much we've sinned against God and what he sent. He still forgave us. He still sent his son to die for us. So no matter what you've experienced, you can forgive. His spirit helps us to show charity and grace towards our brothers and sisters, so that we focus on each other's good rather than our weaknesses. We focus on our strengths rather than where this person is not as good as me. We bear with one another. We recognize that everybody in this room has different giftings and they might not look like mine. Our sinful flesh constantly wants to make us the center of the universe. Like, me, what's in it for me? Oh, what can I get out of this? What? All the time. That's your flesh. And this leads to divisions and self-righteousness, a critical spirit that magnifies people's specs while overlooking and minimizing your logs. But the Holy Spirit, what he's doing is he's brought a group of misfit sinners messes, all of us. And he's brought us together. And he's renewing our mind, even right now. And he's sanctifying our souls right now. And he's making us more like Jesus. So why would he do that? So that we become a city on a hill that shines God's grace to a dark world that's hell-bent on destroying each other. Look, relationships are hard regardless, inside and outside of the church. But in Christ, God uses them as tools to chisel away your sin and yourself. Because that's what the problem is. Your sin and yourself. And as he's doing that, he's making you more like Jesus. So peace with each other is available today. But we have to willingly, intentionally, die to ourselves, look for the value in other people, and then walk in it. Number four, last one on peace. In Christ, we have the hope of final heavenly peace. It's all going to be okay, y'all. Take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. Breathe it out. It's all going to be okay, y'all. Let's do it again. It's going to be stinking up in here in a minute. Listen, okay? This is how it all ends. And even the end is just the beginning. Jesus speaking. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. So in our sin-filled, war-torn, broken world, we long for peace. Like, we all want this final rest. And because of what Jesus has done, we can know that it's coming. It's all going to work out. But how do we know? Because God's told us. He said so. Like, the same work of renewal that he's currently doing inside of your soul, God's also doing it in the world at large. And just like it's sometimes hard for you to see all that he's working in your life, sometimes it's hard to see all that he's doing out there, amen? But remember, as Christians, we live by faith, not by sight. We stand upon what God has said, not how we feel, not what the world tells us. And he's promised that one day his son will return in the clouds. It's going to be awesome, guys. I'm going to look over at y'all. We're going to see each other. All we're going to be floating up. And I'm going to look over at y'all and say, hey, it's happening. We talked about it. It's going on. And he's going to have fire in his eyes. A sword is going to be coming from his mouth. A sword not meant for us. And he will restore all things to how they are supposed to be. Sin will be no more. It will be eradicated. Both love and justice will be poured out. And those of us who know him, we will finally experience eternal peace. No more fear, no more anxiety, no more pain, no more cancer, no more politics, no more loved ones dying, no more babies dying. Peace will cover the earth as God makes all things new. This is what's coming for us. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? It's coming for us either when Jesus returns, which could be today, or when we die, which also could be today. Could be here before you know it, guys. We do not know when our time will come. All we have is this moment, this day. So listen, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And that leads us to our next fruit of the Spirit, joy. Anybody in here need more joy? Oh, man, yes. God, you do. I asked that, and you're like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, you need more joy. We don't want to be curmudgeons walking around, all right? But what is joy? Again, the internet gave me, you know, I don't like it, but man, it gave me a good definition. I got to read it to you. What is joy? Joy is a deep spiritual delight produced by the Holy Spirit in the heart of a believer, rooted in God himself and the salvation he provides in Christ. It's not dependent on circumstances, but flows from knowing, trusting, and enjoying God and from the confident hope of his promises. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. Now, I ain't against happiness. I want to be happy. I want y'all to be happy. But what makes us happy is usually determined by our circumstances, like how our day goes, how comfortable we are. Did my Wi-Fi go out? or my expectations met, etc. But joy goes deeper than that. It gets down into the very root of your soul, to places that these momentary circumstances, they can't touch. This is because joy is rooted in the fact that no matter what happens to me, I got Jesus. No matter what happens to me, I got Jesus. My Father is sovereign over the universe, and His Spirit is my helper. Like, He's with me all the time. Therefore, I can rejoice because it's all going to work out. Number one, in Christ, God Himself becomes our greatest joy. Psalm 16:11. I love this. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, who sits at the Father's right hand? Jesus. Our pleasures forevermore. God ain't opposed to pleasures. He knows where the pleasures are found. And I'm going to tell y'all something you already know, at least up here, but something I want y'all to experience. I want to experience it down here, in here. There is infinitely more pleasure in knowing God, experiencing God, following God, than in whatever this world has to offer you. Whether that's sex, which God made, whether that's a good steak, which God also made, or it's a last minute touchdown to win the football game. Those pleasures are enjoyable, okay, but they're temporary. They are fleeting. But when you know God and you live with an awareness that He's always with you, that He's always for you, then listen, you can experience a constant delight that the temporary things cannot touch. He becomes the source of your joy. His promises become an anchor for your soul. And like He just said, He makes known to you the path of what He calls the abundant life. And listen, every day you got the opportunity, as you go to your jobs, as you go to your schools, as you go to your gyms, your households, God's by your side. Like, He's with you. And when you get that, listen, life can become an adventure, not a drag, okay? God wants us as His kids to thrive, not just barely survive. When we find out why God's put us here, and we start to recognize the endless opportunities that we have to worship Him throughout our day, it all changes. Our purpose changes. And how we eat, how we drink, how we treat our spouses, how we raise our kids, how we send our emails, whatever we do, we can now do it all to the glory of the Lord. And this produces joy in us. C.S. Lewis has this quote, I'm sure y'all have heard it, but if you haven't, it's really good. Just listen. If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and staggering nature of the rewards promised in the gospel, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Ask God to produce this type of joy in you, Christian. Wrestle with Him, like Jacob wrestled with Him, until He becomes your greatest delight. Number two, in Christ, we get to enjoy relationship with God rather than cold, dead religion. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Again, the entire book of Galatians, Paul's not only been fighting for the peace of the Galatians, but also for their joy. And as we've gone through this book, my hope is that if any of you are still coming in here chained up under cold, dead religion, that He's little by little cutting those chains loose. He's freeing you up so that you truly experience what Christ has done for you. And I hope you've seen that the Christian checklists and your good outweighing your bad and this constant striving to get right with God through your own efforts, I hope you see that's a dead-end road. There's no peace in that. There's no joy on that path. You know why? Because it's all about you, your work, your performance, which is inconsistent, your, you know, how well you're doing. But the good news is, it ain't about you no more. It's all about Jesus, his work, his performance, his sacrifice, counting for you. Like, understand why we're here today, guys. Because the perfect one stood in the gap for us, the broken ones. Like, the Savior laid down his life for us sinners. And listen, when that takes hold of your heart, that happened for you, you'll never be the same. I'm not saying you won't have struggles. I'm not saying you won't have to battle for this. But you'll never be the same. You'll experience an inward delight that religious rituals cannot produce. Because you know God now. Like, you really know him. He's not a theory. He's your Father. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Number three, in Christ, all of our circumstances are being worked together for our joy. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. As we said earlier, life is hard. Amen? Amen? Every day we experience anxiety-inducing situations that can shake us up. Listen, but when you have renewed your mind to understand that even those experiences are being worked by the sovereign hand of God to make you more complete, to make you more content, to make you less sinful, then you can have joy even during the most trying of times. Now, earlier this year, we got to witness in our community an example of this with the Jones family. The Jones family. This is Lauren and Dylan. There's supposed to be a picture of them up there somewhere. But they watched as their 2-year-old boy, Stetson, passed away from a sickness. Okay? And as their hearts were being crushed, they still praised God through it. As they were experiencing what is most of our greatest fear, the Holy Spirit produced a joy in them that this world cannot explain. The scriptures talk a lot about it, but this world can't explain it. Like Job's wife, the world would say, some would say to us, they should have cursed God and died. But Dylan and Lauren, they decided that they were going to testify to his greatness. They sung, "He gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I bet that song hit a little different for them. And they could do this because they knew that even through the most tragic of circumstances, God was at work. He was producing something in them that cannot be stolen. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been through your own tragedies, your own hardships. Maybe it was even due to your own sin. But now you see on the other side, often when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to see this. But when you're on the other side, you see that none of it was meaningless. Listen, trials do not happen to us. They happen for us. God uses pressure to produce perseverance in us. He uses suffering to strengthen our faith. And he uses hardship to bring us into deeper dependence on him. This is why the scriptures say, what Satan means for evil, God's working for your good. And some of you that have experienced that, understand when Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4, that in all situations, I can be content, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Guys, this type of joy is available to you today. Again, because if you have Jesus, you have everything. Satan can't steal this and you can't lose it. Number four, last one for joy. In Christ, God has taken our greatest fear, which is death, and he's made it our greatest joy. Philippians chapter 2, verse 18 through 21. Yes, and I will rejoice, this is Paul speaking, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul knew about hardships. He was hated by his Jewish kinsmen. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by snakes. He was beaten to a pulp. He was pelted with stones when he was preaching the gospel. Yet he was able to handle it all with joy because he knew that no matter what happened to him, he was going to be fine. Better than fine. To live is Christ and to die is gain, which means that even if Paul died, he would live. Even if the worst reality in this life came to him, he would immediately be in the presence of the Lord. Listen, in this joyful truth, listen, this made Paul extremely dangerous to his enemies. What do you do with someone that has no fear of death? Like with someone that says, all right, kill me if you got to, but I ain't gonna stop preaching the truth. I'm not gonna stop saying the things that people need to hear. You can kill me if you want, but I'm just gonna go be with Jesus. What do you do with someone like that? And the same thing is true of us. Because Christ resurrected, so will we. Death no longer has its sting for us. We are going to live forever, saints. That means whatever trial you're experiencing in this life is worth comparing to the glory that you're going to experience in the next one. So listen, the question now becomes, how do I experience these things? Joy, peace. What do I have to do to get this fruit in my life? A couple of things. First, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to wage a holy defiance against your flesh, the devil, and the world. Like, this is the spiritual warfare that Ephesians chapter 6 talks about, okay? We think it's all demons, but a lot of times it's just us. And it ain't going to be easy. It's going to be a battle. But here's the most important truth. In this battle, Christian, you are never alone. You have Almighty God fighting with you. You have the King of Kings by your side. So for all my checklist people in here, all my people who are trying to really just white knuckle this, stop. Stop. Ask God to help you battle. Quit trying to do this on your own. He's not called you to do this on your own. He's given you the Holy Spirit. Your helper. The reason you can have victory over your sin and experience peace and joy is because it is God who is fighting this battle now through you. And listen, God don't lose. God don't lose. He doesn't wave the white flag. He will prevail and he will see you through to victory. So, how are you going to produce this fruit? Produce this fruit in you? How are you going to get joy and peace this week? Well, you're not. He's going to produce it in you. As Jesus holds on to you and he draws you and he shows you his greatness, he's going to produce these things in you by his Spirit. He's the root, you're the fruit. But practically speaking, does that mean we just sit around, twiddle our thumbs, meditate all day, and just wait around for the fruit to grow us? No. No. There are also biblical practices, disciplines of grace that you can incorporate into your life that will help you fight the good fight. And I want to make it clear, guys, we're going to go through a list in a second. Who's my list takers in the room, okay? You're a list taker, it's coming, okay? But I want to make it clear, these things cannot be neglected. If you think you're going to experience peace and joy and not do these things, then you're fooling yourselves. Now you may be thinking, but BJ, you don't know how busy I am. I don't got time. I really can't afford to do these things and add them to my life. But the truth is, you can't afford not to. We all have 24 hours in a day, all right? So take inventory of your life, think about what needs to go, prioritize your peace and joy, and make the adjustments. God is in you, and he can help you with this. Now, none of these are going to be revolutionary. If you've been at Grace for any amount of time, you've heard them all before, okay? The question is, are you doing them? Are you doing them? May we not be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Everybody wants new revelation, new exciting theological insight. But are we actually applying the basic things that we already know? I'm right there with you. So here we go. I'm going to dive in. I'll give a practice and then a scripture to back it up. Some of them I'll give my commentary on, and some of them I'll just stand alone. But first, we're going to do daily practices. Listen, daily practices. Every day. Like, this needs to become your new thing, okay? And then we're going to do some weekly practices. And then to close it out, relationship practices, okay? Kara, I'm not close to done. 15 minutes. Okay. First, daily practice. She goes and gets the kids. That's why I say that. She always leaves at the application. I'm like, well, you got a lot. You're going to miss a lot. So, first one, probably the most important one. It's the first one for that reason. Preach the gospel to yourself every single day. Preach the gospel to yourself every single day. Romans chapter 8. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You may need to repeat that to yourself 100 times if you're condemning yourself constantly. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So who from the outside is trying to come against you? You got God on your side. And then listen, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That means if he would kill his son for you, he's going to see you through whatever little thing you think is just going to be the end of the world. Okay? Understand, Christians, there is one God and you are not him. But listen, you are loved by him. You are loved by him. So much so that he sent Jesus to suffer and die in your place. And if God will do that for you, what else is he not going to do? What are you worried about today? Be logical. If God sacrificed his son for you, what's he not going to do for you? Listen, preach the gospel to yourself, saints. Get dirty with yourself. Argue with yourself if you have to. Fight that flesh. Your sin will destroy you, and Jesus is infinitely better. You got to remind yourself of this every day and then believe it because it's true. Second thing, spend time in the word, believe the word, and then act on the word. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Listen to this. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It's pretty simple. The people I know who have the most peace and joy are also the ones who spend the most time with the source of those things. There's an undeniable cause and effect there. So if you don't have a ton of peace and don't have a ton of joy, you need to actually ask yourself, how much time have I spent with my Father? Now, despite how convincing our feelings can be, okay? I know we have feelings. I know they're powerful. But they are not the truth. God's word is the truth. And the more you read what he's said and you believe what he's promised and you renew your minds with his reality, then the more his peace and his joy will become your reality. Listen, guys. God does not break his promises. And he's made us a ton of promises. The question is, do you know them? Do you know what he's said? Do you believe them? And then do you act upon them? By his spirit, you can. The choice is just up to you. Number three, pray about everything with an emphasis on God's sovereignty. Your Father rules the world. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. For my anxious people in this room, you need to memorize this because there's a promise in here. Do not be anxious about anything. But what about this? No, anything. What about, if you don't know what I got, anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That means talk to God about it. And what will happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. My kids come to me for almost everything. It's exhausting. I love them, but it's tiring, okay? But if there's something they can't do, it's not long before I hear from the other room, Daddy, Daddy. And they think that, and they say that because they think Daddy can do anything. Like there's currently no limits to Daddy's ability. But as they grow up, they're going to see Daddy's mess too. There's a lot of stuff I can't reach up on the top shelf. You know what? I'm just saying. Daddy's got his limits. But listen, guys, for those of us who know the Lord, we are connected to the source of all power in the universe. Like, we just don't get it. Like, our Heavenly Father is Almighty God. He spoke and the world was created. Like, our elder brother is Jesus, the King of Kings. And the Holy Spirit, who's within us, he raised dead men to life. And he tells us as his kids, come to me. Share your burdens with me. Tell me what you need. You don't have the power, but I do. You don't have the peace, but I do. Give me your cares, my child. This is your offer every day, guys. Now, may we never forget who we are praying to, okay? Let us not forget who we're praying to. Our God is not weak and he's not uninvolved. He's the sovereign father of the universe and nothing's impossible for him. Number four, anticipate God in blessing your life today rather than being anxious that he won't. Anticipate God blessing your life today rather than being anxious that he won't. I'm kind of like, I used to call myself a realist. Does anybody know what a realist is? Someone who calls himself a realist? A pessimist. You just don't see it. This verse right here that I'm about to read has changed my life over the past, I don't know, 3 years. And I've read it 100 times, but Psalm 23, verse 6. Y'all know Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Listen to how he ends it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Does that sound like a pessimist? Those are the words from King David. They become some of my favorite because in it you hear a man who expects God to bless him, who anticipates God's goodness and mercy chasing him down wherever he goes. Are you like that, Christian? Do you expect God to bless your life, or are you always expecting the worst? The faith that the Bible speaks of is not a pessimistic faith. It's a faith that grabs hold of the promises of God and declares, he's going to work all things together for my good. There's no room for pessimism in that. Now, I'm not saying don't think soberly, but expecting God to not keep his promises to you is not only unwarranted, it's functional atheism. I heard Sue used that during the women's retreat and it rocked a lot of y'all. It's the truth. God has not failed you. He has never gone back on his word. Now, he may not have done things the way that you like, but listen, if you continue on by faith, you will see that it was all for your good. Expect God to bless us, church. This leads to peace and joy. Number five, practice thanksgiving, gratitude, and contentment. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, not some circumstances, all of them. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Listen, complaining is the language of hell. Complaining is the language of hell. What has God not done for you today as you sit in your seat? What has he not provided that you actually ended up needing? Think on these things. Number six, look for opportunities to serve rather than be served. They are all around you. The most miserable people in the world are the ones who are the most focused on themselves. Get over yourself and get outside of yourself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Number seven. Get rid of distractions that produce anxiety, fear, or maybe you're like, well, they don't make me anxious and they don't make me scared. Or take your focus off of God's mission for your life. Listen, these things do not cultivate joy and peace within you. God has given all of us a garden to steward. It's yours. So focus on what you control. Work that garden. And don't worry about the things that you can't. That's God's territory. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about them all day long. These things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Number eight, repent, believe, and receive. Repent, believe, and receive. This practice restores the closeness of our relationship with God. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. While our relationship with God is sealed through the work of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean our fellowship, our communion with him can't be affected. When we choose to willingly walk in the flesh rather than the spirit, listen, it definitely disrupts our closeness with the Lord, how you feel with him, how intimate he is with you. But in those moments, listen, it ain't God who moved away. It's us. We're the sheep who wandered from the good shepherd to go play in the pig slop of our sin. But again, he does not leave us alone. He pursues. He chases down. His spirit brings us to our senses. But the reality is, if we want fellowship restored, we have to repent and turn back to him. We have to believe that our sin has been paid for and then receive his fatherly mercy and grace once more. And since we presumably sin every day, if you think, oh, well, I haven't really sinned much this week. If you think, well, I haven't cussed and I didn't watch anything bad. I really haven't sinned much. You don't get sin, brothers and sisters. We sin every day, okay? We don't even know we're doing stuff that's sin. But we have if this is true, then we have the opportunity to do these things every single day. We're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. And he tells us, come to me, sinners. Come to me, weak and needy. Confess to him, because he's what you need. So listen, if you will incorporate these daily practices into your life over the next year, come back and see me in a year from now and tell me, do you have more peace and do you have more joy? Okay? Listen, if that's what you want, we all started out, who needs more peace? Who needs more joy? All y'all are like, I do. Well, here you go. You can start this tomorrow. You can start this when you leave. But there's also some weekly things we've got. Kara, I'll be done probably in 5 more minutes. Weekly practices. Do not neglect gathering with the saints on the Lord's day. Here we read the word, sing the word, pray the word, preach the word, hear the word, see the word, do the word. The biblical term for church is ecclesia. Ecclesia. And that means gathered ones. That means we are called to be together. Listen, whatever the next COVID is that tells us all we got to go home, guess what? You're going to have BJ and your elders fighting, saying, hey, come on, we ain't going home. We ain't staying in our doors. We might pray about it for a week and think about it, but we're probably going to be gathering, okay? Just giving you a heads up. We saw what that did to us last time, okay? But we need to be here experiencing the peace of God together, chasing after peace and joy together. Listen, God ain't merely saving for himself individuals. He's saving for himself a people. And every week we have the opportunity to gather here together and have his promises collide with our crazy circumstances corporately. This reminds our hearts of the truth. Like during the week, y'all are all bombarded with lies. But here we hear truth. And listen, I would encourage y'all, get outside and be together outside of Sunday morning. Like meet up for lunch, for coffee. Hang out in each other's homes. I know I can say that, but listen, this is what we're called to do. Like share resources and podcasts and things that God's teaching you with each other. Join a missional community. If you're not in a missional community, come, please. Listen, be friends with each other. These are the people, the soldiers that God's placed around you for your battle. But do not neglect the Lord's Day gathering. You need this, brothers and sisters. And listen, the person sitting next to you, they need you. That's how God's organized it. Number two, take communion seriously. It's an opportunity to restore fellowship with God and with people. So every week we partake of a meal together as Christ's church. And in it, you have the opportunity to reflect on your relationship with God and with others. Now listen, when we speak from up here, it's not meant to cause you to doubt your salvation based off of how well you've performed that week. It's to remind all of you that we come here as broken vessels that God is restoring. We're all needy beggars whom God has given bread. And so we come to the table as one body, one people covered by the blood of our Savior. So listen, don't rush through this. When you come up here, don't rush through this. If you need to go sit in your seat and pray, if you need to go sit in your seat and think through, you know, your relationships and with the Lord, if you need to just confess and repent, yeah, that's who the table's for. Because we all need to confess and repent. Don't let this become just another ritual in your mind. Allow God to use it to strengthen your communion with him. We don't just get to know God now. We get to share a meal with him. I'm almost done, I promise. Number three, rest. Rest. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, every single week, you need rest. None of us are invincible. Amen? The older people nodded their head. The younger people, I don't know, y'all probably thinking about Fortnite. But listen, none of us are invincible. We all have limited amounts of energy bandwidth, and all week long there are stressors that are zapping us. And your Father knows this about you. Our Savior can sympathize with this because he's lived as one of us. So every week, listen, you need to take a day of rest. That might mean disconnecting from social media, from Fox News or whatever. Maybe you need to take a nap. Maybe you need to go for a long walk and just pray. But we all need time to clear our minds and get recalibrated on the mission that God has given to us. Again, you are not invincible. And God's given you, as his people, as his kid, a day to unwind. So don't ignore this practice. It will steal your peace and joy if you ignore it. And then to close, three practices for our relationship. These are just really quick. I promise. Be quick to forgive and reconcile with others. There may be situations where boundaries are necessary. In those situations, seek counsel, ask for God for wisdom, and live at peace with everyone as long as it depends on you. Number two, get to know people's stories. When you hear what people have been through and what's shaped them, it will help you overlook their annoying quirks, their personality differences, and it'll help you battle your sin harder than you do theirs. We all need to practice that one. If there's someone in this room and you're like, oh, I just don't get that person, go to lunch with them. Ask them what God's done in their life. Ask them how he's changed them. You'll get them after that, and it'll cause you to love them more. Number three, speak in such a way that encourages, builds up, and shows a willingness to come alongside and help. Being critical and nitpicky is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Giving all your attention to tasks and not people misses the whole point. The people are the task. Relationship is the point. So be part of the solution rather than magnify the problem. I think I've given us plenty for today. Amen? The question is not, has BJ given me enough to do this week? I have. The question is, will we do these things? Will we do these things? The fruit of peace and joy are available to us should we choose to walk in them. So here's my encouragement for y'all today. Your last one. By faith, walk in these things. Pursue them. Run your race with all the grace-driven effort that God provides to you and make these fruit yours. And listen, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. This is God's promise to you, church. So take hold of it. Fight for it. By faith, walk in it. Listen, God is with you, okay? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that, Lord, you are with us. You are for us. And God, you not only are with us and for us, by your Spirit, you're working in us these things that we can do, that we can walk in, that will help us experience your peace and joy. Lord, I know in here there are people right now who are anxious all the time, who are fearful, who are tired, who are just mentally exhausted, who don't know how they're going to make it through this next week. God, I pray that through all these things, through your promises, through your truths, they're feeling refreshed right now. They're feeling ready to battle and take on whatever comes their way. Not because they're just this really strong person, but because God Almighty is with them. The King of Kings is by their side, and the Spirit, the Helper, will see them through. God, we believe these things, but help our unbelief. May we not be sheep who hear these things and then wander back off into our sin thinking that that's going to satisfy. God, would you hold us fast? You are the Good Shepherd, and we need you. God, I pray we would have more peace and more joy this next week. In Christ's name, amen.